First Thessalonians chapter number 1, verses 1 through 4. Last week we looked at the beginning of the state of the church in modern times. I gave you four different types of churches. There's the dying church, the one who is not reaching out, the one that's not doing reaching the younger generation, one that is basically content with we are who we are and we're done. And so there is the dying church. We looked at the declining church, one that does not live on faith, that does not step out by faith, and one that is not reaching out, but they are declining. And I talked about how that declining is a slow deterioration. It's not something that happens overnight, but it's something that happens over a period of time. It's evidence in the building, it's evidence in the people. Then we looked at a dysfunctional church, one that's divided. They've walked away from theological truth. They've walked away from unity. And they are basically dysfunctional. They are alive and they're meeting, but they're not functioning as the body of Christ should. And then we looked at a dynamic church. And that's where I'm going this morning is we ended with those four. We talked about a dynamic church, what a dynamic church is all about. We looked at how a dynamic church functions, what they do. And then I wanted to take it a step further because at the end of the service, and you say amen if you agree, we all want to be a part of something dynamic.
Right.
Amen. We want to be a part of something that's making a difference. We want to be a part of something that's changing the world around us. This morning, active faith is what we talked about in our Sunday school. And what our lesson was about was how that our faith and our active faith sets us apart from the world around us, right? Well, how can we be a dynamic church? Now, if you'll bear with me, we're going to get into that this morning to the best that I can. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. A dynamic church. When Paul uses the word here in the first part of his letter, if you will, the salutation, and he says unto the church of the Thessalonians, the word church there is the Greek word ekklesia. And it talks about an assembly that's called out from their homes and they're placed inside of a public place of meeting, and specifically for Christians, those that are placed in a public setting for the worship of God, which is exactly what we have right now. You have left your home, right? And you have came to a public place of worship, what I like to call the meeting house. Amen. According to what I believe of the scripture, this is the house of God. My body. The Bible tells me that our bodies is the temple of God. We've been bought by a price. This is where God dwells through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But this is where we meet together to worship. This is where we work, come together to gather and gain instruction for the work of the ministry. Amen? And so, as I look at the church at Thessalonians, I believe they're a model church for us in these modern times. If you read verse 3, Paul commended them for their work of faith, labor of love, and the patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. They were working while they were waiting. Isn't that supposed to be what we're doing as a body of believers? I mean, he didn't call us to sit on a stool of do nothing and wait for him to come and do something, did he? But he called us to be working to share the gospel and, according to the scripture, to make disciples. Amen? And disciples, and I'll deal with this later on, is a follower. follower of Christ who follows His teaching and His footsteps. And so if we are to be called out, which we talked about this morning in Sunday school, a holy people. God has called us out and set us apart to be different. Amen. If you can't tell the difference between a Christian and a person that's not a Christian, then you're not living the Christian lifestyle. Amen. And Christianity, according to what I told my class this morning, is not a religion, but it's a lifestyle. Me following Christ is how I live my life. And I'm not pointing to me. I'm saying that's what a Christian says. I follow Christ and it's not something I do, but it's who I am. We looked Wednesday night on abiding in Christ and what abiding in Christ means. And I said that in Christ is where we find the substance of our being. We find who we are. Our identity should be in Jesus Christ. Amen. It shouldn't be in a church, even though we're a part of a church. Amen. I don't want anybody to say, I know who that person is because they're a Mount Carmelite. I don't want that. I want people to be able to say, I know that they are a Christian because they're a part of a church that is being dynamic in its ministry and in its mission to reach Mitchell County. Amen. And so how do we be? What characteristics are there of a dynamic church? Now I want to say this to begin with. Dynamic churches are made up of dynamic Christians. Amen. And so we can be collectively as strong as we are individually. Now listen, me making that statement can cause people to say, well, I'm a very weak Christian. Listen, the Bible says, let your light so shine before men. Doesn't it say that?
Amen.
It didn't say, let your bright light. It didn't say, let your fluorescent light. It didn't say, let your floodlight shine. Let your light so shine. Be glad this morning, if you're a Christian, that you've got a light to shine. Amen? And that you're not dwelling in darkness. And then, after you're glad you've got the light, pray that God would strengthen your light so that you can shine even brighter for those around you. Amen? So a dynamic church is made up of dynamic Christians. I wanted to say that from the get-go so that you and I understand that these things that I'm going to point out, which I call them characteristics, I believe that they are principles. That if we practice these in our personal life, then in our church life here, it'll help us go forward for the glory of God. You with me? Number one, a dynamic church is characterized by dedication. I asked this question last Sunday morning. Are you dedicated to this local assembly? I wasn't bringing into question anybody's dedication to Christ. But I was asking, are you dedicated to this local assembly? Because I believe this, dedication can also be characterized or called commitment. You have to, when you come forward to join a local assembly, you have to be dedicated to the work and the mission of this local assembly. Amen? I'm getting some of the hard stuff out of the way first, all right? Because when you start talking about commitment, people start backing up. When you start talking about dedication, people start backing up. It's a funny thing to me that we'll vote for things and we'll say okay, but we are unwilling to count the cost. Amen? Wednesday night, the church, and I made known in the business meeting, and the church graciously elected to help pay for the tuition as I further my education. But before I stood before this congregation, I looked at the requirements for me to go further. I'm going as far as I can go. And as I look at it, it's going to take me a while. Amen. It's not something that I can just wake up one day and it's going to be done. But before I made it public, I shared with the Lord my concerns and counted the cost. And I'm dedicated to this for the long haul. Listen, I've got a piece of paper up here in my folder that I showed to my class of what happens when you're not dedicated to something. When I took my first year of college right out of high school, I was running from the Lord, running from my calling, went my own direction, wasn't dedicated, and I can go down through there and you can look at my transcript, and it's not pretty to look at, so don't ask me to make it public knowledge because I'm ashamed of it. But I can share with you what was going on in each one of them classes and why they come up the way they were. Because I wasn't dedicated. But then you look at the transcript of where I went to Fruitland and when I was dedicated to doing what God would have me to do, and I got more out of it because I put more into it. Amen? And church is the same way. Amen? If you come in and sit down and say, bless me if you can, chances are you'll leave burdened and not blessed. But if you come in and say, I'm blessed because I'm here. I'm blessed because I'm a part of something. And you're dedicated to what goes on. Listen, I've heard people look around in our sanctuary and say, well, what did you do all of this for? Because we are dedicated to reaching young people and adults with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And putting a poster up and wearing a shirt and dressing up might reach them for Jesus Christ. It does not do anything theologically to deter people, but it may reach out to that young person. Amen? Or to that adult. And listen, I believe it's worthy, don't you? I believe it's worthy. I believe this. People are excited about the fact that we're not giving cookies and Kool-Aid every night. There are young people that are going to come hungry because they've not eaten all day. But when they come here, and Brother Richard mentioned it in the finance committee meeting the other night, there's been children that have come and sat down and eat a plate of food and then come with big eyes and said, I'm hungry, can I have some more? Yes, you can have some more. I'm hungry, can I have some more? Feed them till they're full. Amen. A hungry man don't care about Jesus till his belly's full. Amen. Amen. Then you can give them about the gospel according to Jesus Christ. It takes dedication. This means that I'm committed to what God gives me. Now listen, the opportunity to serve. Now I said at the beginning, I wasn't calling your dedication to Christ into, or commitment to Christ into question. But I want to say this, they do go hand in hand. How can you say that I'm committed to Christ when you're not committed to His local assembly? Jesus, listen to me. Jesus is a church man. He established it on faith in Him. Jesus believes that there's power in the local assembly. Read the book of Acts. There was all these different churches. Read Paul's letters. There were all these different churches. And Christ was using them for the glory of the gospel and to further the kingdom. And so, listen, I'm not calling into question. But I am saying this. They do go hand in hand. If I say I'm committed to Christ, then I'm committed to the place where I decide to give my efforts, to pay my tithes, and to sit on the pew. Amen? You agree with me? Or am I lost you already? I'm dedicated through those three areas. Paying my tithes, giving my talents, and giving up my time. Friday, we met here. We decorated. Listen to me. You know what that is? That's a medal to pay. And it's not. I got to pay long. Okay, I figured out how to answer your son. He got everything to strip down to his skivvies the other day when he left here and said, I ain't got no medal in it. He's got iron in his blood. That's how I'm going to tell you. It's that super sensitive. I figured out how could I come across, because I thought, I'm going to need to do something. We brought these decorations. I looked at Brother David Huskins. I said, can you make that thing go off when somebody walks through it? And Friday, he had taken the time to figure out how that when those children walk through that. Now listen. It takes time and talent to make things go in the ministry. You said, preacher, I don't have a talent. Every one of us in here today, God has given you the ability to do something for the glory of God. God has given you the ability to do something and be a part of something that is bigger than each one of us individually. I believe that in these three areas, giving of my time, being able to come and do work and put up decorations, take down decorations, study for lessons, take time to pray for the local assembly, the local congregation, specifically this morning, Mount Carmel Baptist Church as we are here. It takes time, and I dedicate my time. It also talks about, I believe this, dedicating our tithe. Now right here is where I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings. Because it hurts mine. Malachi chapter 3 verses 8 through 10. God asks the children of Israel and tells them that you've robbed me. And they say, how have we robbed you? And he said, in your tithes and offerings. Now there is a distinct difference right here. Listen to me because I'm going to help you. Because you're fixing to take home a budget. Next week we've got to vote on it. And the only way that we can meet the budget is if we all tithe and give offerings. Say amen right there, Richard Hunter. And listen, you may say the only way you can... I don't have but $5. $5 is better. Amen. Which would you rather have? A $5 bill or a no-dollar bill? Amen. We give of our tithes and our offerings. Now, our tithe is 10% that God says I want off the top. And I deserve that which is off the top. Amen. Listen, your tithe is not to be given anywhere. According to Malachi chapter 3, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. We give our tithe to the local assembly where we come and where we worship and where we minister and where we come to be a part of. I can already tell I've lost some. This part will be done quickly. Our tithe is what God says bring into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. Let me tell you something. Some people have said to me, I can't afford to tithe. I learned a very valuable lesson as a young man. You can't afford not to. When you give God what God says is mine, God will make ends meet where you don't even see ends. God will bring things together that you don't understand. And that is the tithe that He said is mine. 10%. Before Uncle Sam gets his, that's what God wants is 10%. But, and you say, preacher, why is that? Well, who's bigger, Uncle Sam or God? Don't answer that out loud. Somebody might give me the wrong answer. Then the offering is what we give above our tithe that says, God, I love you, and because you've loved me, I just want to give you. I believe that by my studying of the Scripture, I believe that there's freedom in offering. I believe that God will allow us to take an offering and we'll be able to put it into different ministries, different facets, use it in different ways to bring honor and glory to His name. The tithe is what He says I want off the top and I require. The offering is what you want to give me because I love you and you love me. And you can give that in different facets of ministry. I believe also we give of our talent. I've talked to that. We do everything, whatever you can do. I don't know anything about electricity, but that it'll bite you. And when me and David and Dennis looked at this thing, I had no idea what David... And I told him, I said, if you don't have time to mess with it, it's perfectly fine. Friday afternoon, Miss Sharon come walking in and said, David said to plug this up and plug this up and it should work. And guess what? I plugged this up and that up and guess what? It dings when you walk through it. He was talented in that. This morning we had two men playing the guitar. I look at them and foam at the mouth. I wish I could make it sing, but I can't. I could learn it, I guess, but I can't get this hand and this hand to do two separate things and make one sound come out of it. This hand wants to be in this hand. I mean, I thought about even trying to turn it around. I've not been able to get it there. But these men are talented, and they use their talents this morning. Brother Brett led us in song. Miss Angie leads us in song. They have that talent given to them by God. You have a talent. Let's use it for the Lord. And it takes dedication to be able to get that done. You with me? Still with me? It takes dedication. I want to say this. It also takes determination. Thessalonica, I shared with you the other week, they faced persecution. They faced trials. Later on, they faced false teaching coming in. But they still stood. As a matter of fact, Thessalonica is still found. And when Nazi Germany came through, there was 60 to 70,000 Jews living in the town of Thessalonica. And they exterminated all of them. But she's still there, can still be found today. Why? Through determination. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Determination is you and I deciding in our own minds, I'm going to see this through. I'm going to stick it out. Regardless of pain, regardless of persecution, I am determined to do what God wants me to do. Christian, this morning you need to come to the realization, if you haven't already, that the Christian lifestyle is an all-out battlefield. Amen? This is not some pickup game of basketball on the corner with your buddies. This is an all-out battle. And Satan wants to do all he can to destroy every Christian and every church. But thanks be unto God, Jesus already gave us a promise that if it's established on the rock of Jesus Christ, faith in Him, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Let me tell you something. It's a battlefield, but praise be unto God, we're on the winning side. Amen? Amen. Why? Because He has already won the battle for us. There's victory in Jesus. There's power in the blood. Everything we've got, we've found in Jesus Christ. Let me get to 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Paul was writing to the Corinthian church, and I just want to pull this verse. I don't do this often, but I'm going to... At the end of verse 15, or chapter 15, Paul gives them this great truth. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let me tell you something. I wondered the week of the fourth, should I have had a revival? Vacation taking place, holiday week, should we have had revival? I enjoyed it. Other people sent me encouragement. They enjoyed the preaching. But I mean, listen, the man of God that preached can preach. Amen? I mean, he was dynamic. He's still dynamic. I listened to him this morning driving up the road. I mean, at 9 to 9:30, he's on AM 11:30. I didn't know that. I got in and caught the last 10 minutes of what he was saying. I mean, dynamic preacher. And I wondered, should I have done this or did I miss the mark? Last Sunday night, I got to present for baptism, Miss Carter. At the end of that revival service, the Lord spoke to her heart. She wanted to ask the Lord into her heart to save her. Now we're going to be baptized. Then, on Sunday night, after we came back from our vacation, as I was struggling, we had Ashley, Jerrica, and Kim got saved. We've got Chris and Monica going to be baptized. I'm still in talks with another man who on Monday, walked me out to my truck. He said, the Lord's been dealing with me. It's time to lay the old man down. I want to be baptized. And when I said, are you sure that you've asked Jesus into your heart? He said, that's the thing. I've never made it public, but it's time to lay the old man down. And now make it public what Jesus has done in my life. It's worth it.
Yes.
But if we quit too early, what are we going to miss? Here's an example. Jerrica got saved in the parking lot the other Sunday night. Her mama was taking her home, come by Stains and Sons, worked it around, came back. We were still hanging out at church. Ashley got saved after we prayed, got done, people had left. Lord pricking on her heart. She came up, knelt down underneath this cross right here when church was over and got saved. If we quit too early, what's going to happen? It takes determination. Paul said right here, be steadfast. Hang in there. It won't be very long till Jesus is going to come through. Unmovable. Don't move off the truth that you know is true. Stand on the Word of God and the principles that you know work and be down. Alright? Be steadfast, unmovable, and knowing that your labor is not in vain. It is going to come through. The Word of God will always bring forth the purposes and the plans of God when it's proclaimed and put out there. Say amen?
Amen.
It takes dedication. It takes determination. Now these last two are going to sound alike, but now I want you to listen to me right here.
which I've said that about every one of them. Won't you listen? They sound alike, but they're different. It takes discipline to be dynamic. Discipline. You and I, as God's people, have to be willing to discipline ourselves, to take time to be with the Lord. To take time, not to read the Bible, not to read the Bible. People come to, now I'm not knocking this, don't anybody take this. I'm like, people come to me all the time, I've read the Bible 15 times through. Well, praise God. Tell me something you read. You can I read the newspaper, but I don't know what's in it most of the time. Do you? I read a lot of things, but I don't know. It takes discipline for us to. Now, I'm not saying. God burdened me several years back to study the book of John, the gospel according to John. And every morning, for 30 minutes, I would read the gospel of John. I wouldn't read a chapter, I wouldn't read a set number of verses. I would read until my mind was full and my mouth, if you will, my heart was full, and then I would have to continue to chew on that just a little bit. There's 21 chapters in the book of John. It took me approximately 6 months to read 21 chapters. You see, the Bible says study to show thyself approved. Don't read it. Study the Word of God. And it takes discipline. Because if we're not disciplined, we're going to get beat down. You with me? I'm trying to hurry. You still with me? Here's what happens. If you're not disciplined on the battlefield, what's going to happen? I'm glad you put that softly. Instead of the soldier term. You're going to be hurt. You're going to cause hurt to those around you. It takes discipline in this life to do and walk in the Christian life. Here's what happened. Satan wants to kill us. He wants to destroy us. And here's what happened. If we're not disciplined, the first thing he's going to do is he's going to distract us. All right? Christ wants us to be focused on him. The greatest show of love that has ever been is that God's only begotten Son laid down His life on a cruel cross at Calvary and willingly died that painful, agonizing death so that He could bring men to repentance and that He could save the souls of a wicked people. Amen?
Amen.
And so if Satan can get you and I distracted from Jesus, then the longer we start looking at the storms, or we start looking at the problems, or we start looking at the difficulties that's going on around us, if we get us distracted, then what's going to happen? You're going to divert all your efforts for a church, all your ministry, all your mission for a Christian, all of your strength, you're going to divert that to things that are not your business. Do they still teach this in driving school? Keep your eyes on the road? Do they still teach that, Ty? Well, I'm guessing I'm right.
Praise the Lord.
Ask my wife. If we go on a trip, say we go to Johnson City. You go through Buell Dean, there's things in Buell Dean that I love. White tail deer. I didn't think about that happening in the book. His plan was not too well thought through. Distraction. Me and Jess will be going down the road, and I'll be looking up in this film. I said, "You see that deer up there? You see that turkey over here?" And she said, "I can watch the road. You're all over the place." I want to say this. In my driving career, I've been pulled more for weaving than I have been for speeding. Two reasons. You can't see them if you drive by them real fast. And so, but I have been pulled for weaving. But you see what happens when you get distracted, you start diverting energy into other areas and into other places. And Satan knows if I can divert your energy into, if you will, fight the battle you know you can't win. Doing things that you know that are God's business and you're not your business. Brett made a comment this morning, and I read it that said, pray for us. Join us in prayer for our Bible school. That the seed will be sown. That's the job of the church. Is to sow the seed of the gospel. To water that seed once it's planted. But God gives the increase. And sometimes we get so caught up and we need to save people. I can't save anybody. But Jesus can save everybody if I sow the gospel seed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so, Satan, and it takes discipline to keep my eyes on Jesus and to put my strength into going where Jesus wants me to go. Because if Satan can get me distracted and divert my energy, then he will defeat me in this Christian life.
That's right.
Because you look around and you say, how can I fix this? This is bigger than what I can do. How many of you ever felt that way? How many of you, now listen, don't raise your hand, but how many of you ever looked on the inside and done a self-check and say, I'm so far from where I need to be, it's not even worth going.
Yeah.
You ever been there? People have said to me in my ministry, I don't even think there's a point in me going to church. I don't know if Jesus could do anything with me. He took a thief dying on the cross and said, today you'll be with me in paradise. He took a man who was killing Christians and was highly educated, and he knocked him off of a horse on a road to Damascus and made him the greatest missionary that was ever was. He took a murderer named Moses and led the people of Israel out of Egypt and led them to the promised land. He took a young boy in Joshua and let him walk around Jericho seven times and shouted for victory, and the walls came down. Listen, he took a little virgin woman and a little man named Joseph, and there brought the two of them together and gave them the greatest gift that could ever be given in his son in the flesh, and used them to be the parents of the Son of the living God. If he can do that, he can do whatever he needs to with you if you'll just say, Lord, here I am.
Amen.
You see, this morning, it takes discipline. It takes discipline to get up on Sunday morning. Amen?
Amen.
It takes discipline to get ready and come to Sunday school. Amen? It takes discipline to read your lesson and be ready. It takes discipline to be willing to spend time with God. How can we discipline ourselves? There's a key to this that I've made mention to several times, but it's key. It's accountability. Accountability. Do you have somebody in your life that will hold you accountable? If they know somebody that you can share your struggle, your personal struggle. We all have something, the weight or a sin that easily besets us, because Paul said, or the writer of Hebrews, let me back up, I believe it was Paul, but the writer of Hebrews says, let us lay aside the weight and sin that so that easily besets us. You have somebody that you can say, this is my struggle, help hold me accountable. Help hold me accountable. And it may not need to be your wife. Oh, it's silent. Man, I think that it's good for us to have a good, godly man in our life that can hold us accountable. Say, why, preacher? Sometimes when our wife will try to hold us accountable, we might look at her like she's trying to get hold of us. And what we hear is, instead of encouragement, we hear cluck, 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 cluck. Amen? I'm glad somebody amen me right now. I'm glad that takes a real man or a dumb one more. You know, I mean, for me to preach it, you'd amen. But it's the truth, isn't it? I mean, it's the truth. Sometimes, listen, here's a wide-eyed man. Listen, I feel the Holy Ghost in this thing this morning.
Yes.
Because he wants this place to be dynamic. And for this to be dynamic, it's going to take discipline.
Yes.
And for it to take discipline, and that means we got to find somebody. A brother or sister in Christ, whoever you are. And I want to say this. Men don't get a woman. Women don't get a man. Get somebody of the same gender to be accountable to you, and you can be accountable to them. And talk with them about what's going on. It takes discipline. Fourth, and then I'm done. It takes discipleship. Discipleship. You know what Paul did to young Timothy? He made him his son in the faith. Paul took young Timothy underneath his wing and instructed him in the path that it needs to go on. You know, our early fathers, and in the early colonial history, there was something called apprenticeship, where a young man would come underneath the teaching of an older man and learn a trade and learn how to do something. And as that young man would grow, his knowledge would grow, and his ability to perform whatever it was would grow, because that older gentleman would teach the younger gentleman. Do you know the Bible says for us older men in the faith to teach the younger ones in the faith? You know that the Bible says for the older ladies to teach the younger ladies. Amen. Let me tell you something. Now I know I'm going to kick somebody in the shin right here. Instead of the older generations maturing the faith, say, can you believe them young girls are wearing that stuff? Listen, poodle skirts were looked at like that when you were that age. Okay? Nobody's going to say amen. But the Bible says, teaches us that modesty is taught. And can I throw this in there? Modesty is appreciated by this generation.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you flaunt it for everybody to see, nobody wants a part of that anymore. Amen. It's looked down upon. Amen. But now our society said, preacher, that's not what this is. I mean, I get them little books of clothing departments and I mean, sometimes I look at Jess and say, we need to cut that second pair in half and sew it on the bottom pair of them shorts so that Gracie can have something to wear, you know? I mean, listen, this is real stuff. Amen? This is where love meets the road. And the Bible says that it's discipleship where we teach one another not only what to do, but why we do it. It brings honor and glory to God when we teach these things. And the Bible teaches us to make disciples, not converts. That's not my responsibility. Jesus saves people. But the Bible teaches us that Christians are to help to teach one another from the Bible. Have I lost you? I believe this with all of my heart, Mount Carmel Baptist Church, that a dynamic church is a church that is characterized by dedication. We have to be dedicated to the ministry and the mission of the local assembly. Not hit and miss. Let me ask you this. If you were to go get in your car 7 days a week and she started, let's say, 4 days a week, how long would you keep that vehicle? Eddie says, keep it till the wheels fall off of it because it'll help me. Grant said, bring it to me. I'll fix it. But it's not working, is it? Now listen, I give you the benefit of the doubt. It's working most days, 4 out of 7. But if it's not going to work all the time, then how trustworthy is it? It's not. What if God looks at a church and the people that make up the church and they're hit and miss 3 times a week or 3 times a month when service is 3 times a week? I understand work schedules, things like that. Don't anybody get offended. But the Bible also says man doesn't work without need. I mean, I believe that. I understand. But how trustworthy is God? A declining church, go back to last week, a declining church tries to build ministry on people not dedicated to the church and to what God would have them to do in the church. But a dynamic church is composed of Christians that are dynamic. They're full of life and energy, and they want to be dedicated to what God is leading the church to do. Dedication. It takes determination. It's a whole lot easier to quit. Amen. Than it is to stay the path. Stay the course. It takes discipline. And it takes discipleship. These children that are sitting around us this morning, these children that are going to come in here, why do we believe in the cross? Why does that preacher preach on the blood? That comes from discipleship. From being taught this is what we believe and this is why we believe. There's a lost and a dying world out there that needs a dynamic, that needs dynamic churches. There's a lost and a dying world out there that needs dynamic Christians. Thessalonican church was a dynamic place. Work, labor of love, work of faith, and hope in Jesus Christ. They knew he was coming and they worked like he was. Have you watched the news here lately? I told Jesse the other morning, I said, I believe that the Son has nudged the Father. He said, are you paying attention to what's going on out here? And the Father's ever watching eye has been on what's going on. And I believe he said, hold on, Son. It won't be much longer. And then you can go get your bride. I mean, listen, everything's adding up. Everything's pointing in the right direction. We left the other week to go on vacation to the beach. How many of you have ever been to the beach? Baptists go to the coast. How many of you have ever been to the coast? I knew somebody would smile at that. There wasn't very many people raise your hand. You need to go take a trip, man. How many of you have you noticed the difference in the air? We got to where it was real flat and the ground started getting real sandy and rolled the windows down. Jess said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to smell it before I see it. Yeah. You can smell that ocean water. No, you're getting close. No, that's just going. And I never will forget, we were fixing to cross a bridge. And I told Grace, I said, Grace, look up, watch what you're going. Because we're fixing to lay eyes on the big water. Let me tell you something, church. We need to be a dynamic place. Because it's not going to be long till the midnight cry is going to come forward. And Gabriel's going to sound the trumpet. The rest of, as I preach through the book of 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians is about being ready. Being ready. Christian, are you ready to meet Jesus today? So, preacher, you said Christian. That's right. If he was to come back and look at your life, could he say, oh, there's a dynamic Christian fixing to come home right now?